Thank you, sister. I really appreciated that. Some have been asking about our next trip to Ukraine. The plan is to leave May of 6, but Russia's cranking up again. They don't report this too much on the news, so you may not have heard, but amassing huge amounts of war machinery and soldiers on the eastern border of Ukraine. Plus, and I mean, that's happened before, and I've been there, so, you know, I've been close enough I could hear the bombs. Don't want to do that again. Also, they're expecting a fourth wave. They're going through a third wave of COVID right now, and they're expecting a fourth wave to come through in a couple of weeks. So I don't know what's going to happen, folks. Just pray for me. Pray for Ukraine. We plan to go unless we get a red light. And one thing, I've got my tickets, and I had a concern about it. You know, when can you cancel a ticket and not be penalized? Well, I actually called a travel agent, and they said I can cancel right up until the time of the flight leaves and not be penalized. So that gives me some hope not to lose everything, you know. But we do appreciate your prayers, and I'm so longing to get back to my students there. And I know our brother here loves your students. Those that want to learn, you just, you know. And I'm anxious to get back. Been a year now. And I am. Anyway, the Lord's kept me busy all over the place. And I'm really feel fortunate and privileged that I can come and be with you the few times that I've been with you. It's always been a blessing to me. I enjoy your singing and your fellowship. It's just tremendous. And I do appreciate it. I'm going to preach from the Gospel of Mark again. Third time. That's my third time here and I'm preaching from Mark the third time. One thing about Mark that I like is he presents the Lord Jesus in personal relationships with people and how people respond to him and how he ministers back to them in several different ways. And we especially see this in chapter 5 because we have three different miracles with different people in each one of those miracles taking place. In Mark chapter 5, we see Jesus' power is displayed in three different areas. One, Jesus' power is displayed over demons or Satan himself in the first 20 verses of this chapter. We see Jesus' power over disease, and he's able to heal diseases. And we've seen him do this before in Mark as well. And also we see Jesus has power over death itself, beginning in verse 35 and on to the end of the chapter. I want us to see this morning how Jesus relates to people. I mean, you can have God and Jesus is God, but if Jesus did not relate to people, did not have compassion, did not have concern to relate with people, what kind of Savior would he be? It would be nothing but a machine. But Jesus related to people on a very personal level and a caring level. Now, first of all, I want us to notice this morning that Jesus is always approachable. Now that's a long word if you put the letters on a page, but it's a very simply means anyone in any situation was able to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and he would receive them. If they were wanting to have a relationship, wanted to have a conversation with him, he came seeking, he always had time for people. And we see that in this chapter. So in all three different levels that we've talked about already. Anyone that was sick, he had time for them. The sick and the well, he related to those people very well. Those who were moral and those who were immoral. And we see that in the Gospel of Mark as well. He related to those people with a caring type of way. Young and old, We have those all the way through Mark as well in Jesus' relationship with them. Whether they're Jew or Gentile, and we especially see that in this chapter. Jew and Gentile both. Sinner or saint, Jesus is approachable. And he wants that relationship. And if you're here this morning, and you are here, but if you do not have Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want you to know the Lord Jesus welcomes you. He welcomes you to come to him, first of all, as Savior, and then Lord and King of your life. And he'll minister to you and strengthen you in every way so that you might not only know him, but to know his peace and his power and his comfort in your life. People wanted to be with Jesus. I want to go back to chapter 4 just for a moment in the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 4, to illustrate about the how Jesus wanted to be with people. Look at verse 35, verse 36. And in the same day, when evening was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over on the other side. Jesus had preached outside one day, you know, a long day there, and Jesus was already out in the boat, and he says to his disciples, let us pass over to the other side of the lake of the Sea of Galilee, or the Lake of Gennesareth. And when they had sent over, verse 36, and when they sent away the multitude, thousands of people would come to the Lord Jesus. They took him, and even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. Also, we were to look in chapter 5, in verse 21, which was read just a few minutes ago. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship, by the way, this was his second trip back across the sea in the same chapter. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was near unto the sea. Many people, always where Jesus went, there was people thronging him, coming. It's just thousands of people. It's hard to imagine. You've got to stop and ask the question, why would people want to hear another rabbi in those days, okay? And you say, well, it's Jesus. Well, we know that. But in their day, when they were hearing and seeing speakers come through, and Jesus was another one of those, but he was very special. But many people came because of his miracles and because of his power. We've seen in chapter 4, verse 37 and verse 39, that Jesus had power over the wind and the waves of the sea. Remember that Jesus is out there with the disciples, and they're getting all afraid and everything, and Jesus is relaxing and taking a nap, and they're getting all flustered over the thing. Have you been out in the sea when there's a storm? I mean, not a little pond. I mean, that can be bad enough. But out on the ocean, my wife and I were given a cruise one time. It was a tremendous gift. And our room, I forget what they called it, wasn't a suite, but it was a room. It was on the outside of the ship, so we could see the ocean all the time, which was an extra blessing even to do that. Wasn't on the inside and you couldn't see anything. But anyway, one night there came up a big storm. We were on the seventh deck. I mean, water's a long way down. We were up on the seventh deck, and boy, the ship was rolling around, and you know, we were in the bed, and we was almost falling out of the bed. I mean, it got rough, that big cruise ship. And we noticed the next morning there was salt water up on our, when we had one of those little patio things on the side too. We could sit on the side of the ship in this patio. There was salt water up there, seven decks up. And it can get hairy sometime, even with a huge ship. Jesus said to the winds and the waves, peace, be still. And the water said, phew, and the wind went away. That's the power of the Lord Jesus Christ over nature. He healed people. He cast out demons. He fed thousands of people. One particular one that I really like is when Jesus fed thousands of people with five biscuits and seven sardines, you know? Well, something like that, you know? Five loaves and two fishes, you know? And only God can do that, our Creator God. And some came to him because of his message, his preaching. We read in the Gospel of John, after the religious leaders of that day had sent an entourage of men to go and to fetch Jesus and bring him to them, they came back without Jesus. In the Gospel of John chapter 7, they ask him, "Why didn't you bring him?" And he says, "Never a man spake like this man." When they heard him speak, they could not take him away. It's a wonderful God, strong, powerful. Also, I want us to understand something else here. Not only do people want to be with Jesus, but I want us to look at Jesus' reactions and how they reacted to his ministry. In verse 7 of chapter 5, and I'm going backward a little bit here just for a moment. Verse 7 of chapter 5, we find, if we were to begin at first, that in verse 1, he's in the country of the Gadarenes. By the way, that's Gentile area. That's not in Jewish area. So they, in chapter 4, they crossed the sea and they came to the Gadarenes, and Jesus gets to the shore and comes out, and he's met with a man who has a legion of demons. And that was a confrontation there. But look at verse 7. And the demons cried out and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." Now, we could go back to in chapter 1 of Mark. There were some demons there in a synagogue setting. And Jesus was teaching in the synagogue. And a man possessed with demons, he says, "Did you come to torture me now?" In other words, they know where they're going to wind up. They know what the Word of God says. And they know that Jesus is God. They know that Jesus is their judge. And they cannot do anything about what Jesus is going to do. But we look in this passage. These demons, these legion of demons, said, "Did you come to torment us now?" Not now. And they begged for him to let them go away into the hogs. And the hogs are 2,000 hogs. Now, that's one reason, you know, one way you can know is not just geographically, but what they have there. That wouldn't be Jewish people. I mean, they don't have the hogs, you know. They were living by the law. And 2,000 hogs go running into the sea, and they drown themselves. Look down to verse 16 and 17. Well, verse 15 to begin with. And they come to Jesus, and these people of the city that owns the animals and know all about the man. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. You get the picture here. Here's a guy who was chained and could break the chains, was in fetters and could break the fetters and be free, and he was always screaming throughout the night and just terrorizing people. And they come, and here he is, the demons are gone. He's sitting and in his right mind. And the odd thing is, they were afraid. What were they afraid of? Or who were they afraid of? I think that they were afraid of the person who cast the demons out, because they realized his power. Someone was able to meet this man's real need, had the power and the wisdom to do it. And that's the Lord Jesus. Verse 16, and when they saw it, told them that how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil and was con- was concerned, and also concerning the swine, and they began to pray him, urge him to depart out of their land, out of their coast. They didn't want him there. I've asked myself the question, why not? I think it was because of their financial loss. I mean, here their livelihood is gone, and they looked at money more than souls. Boy, there's a message there. There's a message there. So many times we find ourselves in situations today where people are more concerned about things than they are souls. More concerned about job than they are souls. More concerned about personal comfort than souls. That ought not to be. And that's where these owners, where these businessmen were concerned. And you could probably say that about politics as well. Notice verse 18. And when he was come to the ship, when Jesus was going, he's going to leave, because these guys wanted to leave, not welcome there. And when he was come to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. This man who had the demons before is wanting to go with Jesus, wanting to see more and more, hear more and more about him, and to travel with him, and whatever, maybe wanting to be a servant. We don't know. We just told what little bit we have here. I think it's because of his deliverance. But what did Jesus' response was? So I think it's a wise one, far beyond our wisdom. Verse 19. Howbeit Jesus permitted him, or suffered him not, but saith to him, go home to thy friends. He hasn't been home to his friends. Go home to your friends and tell them how great things the Lord has done for thee and hath compassion on thee. What's Jesus telling him to do? Same thing that we've been told by the Lord Jesus Christ himself before he went back to heaven. Be a witness. Go tell others what you have seen, what God has done for you, and the compassion that he had upon you. In other words, Jesus was sending him out to be a missionary. By the way, verse 20, to me this is a very interesting verse. And he departed, the man departed, and began to publish it or declare it all over in Decapolis. What does that mean? 10 cities. Wow, it wasn't just home. It was in the surrounding area this man is going to tell about the compassion of Christ, the mercy of Christ, the grace of God. And he only had this one meeting with Christ. How much did he know? He didn't have the Old Testament. Maybe he knew some, and that's a possibility. But the man was to be a witness all over, throughout the land in which he lived. He published in Decapolis great things that Jesus done for him, and all men did marvel. Wow. By the way, some people say, I don't know how to be a witness. Do you know what your testimony is? Do you know how Christ saved you? You know the sin that you went before and God has forgiven your sin? Well, you could. It's not that hard. Just tell what God has done for you. It's good to know Scripture, to be able to share Scripture with folks. But everybody can be a witness. There's really no excuse not to be. But then I want us to notice, beginning in verse 21 now and going onward, Jesus had power to heal the sick and to raise the dead. We could have a whole sermon on each one of these miracles, and very easily so. But I want us to catch something here. There's a man by the name of Jairus. In verse 21, and when Jesus was passed over again by the ship unto the other side, much people gathered to him, and he was near to the sea. And behold, there came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. Now, he was a ruler of the synagogue. He wasn't the teacher. He wasn't the rabbi. He was the ruler of the synagogue. It's kind of like The best way I know to describe it, because you can understand it personally here, is kind of like your deacons right now. They're keeping order. They're getting things going. They're keeping things going. And operation of the church is going on even without the pastor right now. Although you do need a pastor, and I'm praying for you to get a pastor. Every church needs pastor. Amen? But thank God for good deacons. I mean that. I had a deacon one time. Well, I've had a lot of deacons, but one particular deacon I had was the greatest deacon I've ever seen. I've never heard of any pastor having one like this man. I'm sure they're out there, but I didn't know anything about him. Every pastor needs, and every church needs, a deacon like this man was. He didn't have a lot of money. He had no wealth. But what he did have was he had wisdom. And he had a love for the people, and he had a love for the pastor. And he told me several times, even on his dying day, he told me he loved me. Did he always agree with me? Nope. I'm glad he didn't. But there was one thing about him I really appreciated. When he disagreed with me, he would tell me. He would tell me out of compassion, out of care, out of concern. And I said, okay, we'll look at this again. Tremendous man. And he made things happen that needed to happen. He took care of matters. That was Jairus. He was that kind of man. He made the synagogue operate as it needed to be. Jairus by name, when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. In other words, he worshiped the Lord Jesus, bowing before the Lord Jesus Christ in worship. And he besought him greatly. He pleaded greatly with the Lord Jesus. My little daughter lieth at the point of death. By the way, we read scripture just a little while ago. This woman that we're going to look at in just a little bit, she was sick with the affliction how long? 12 years? This man's daughter was 12 years old. You see that in verse 42 of the same chapter. As long as this little girl had lived, this woman had gone through all of the affliction that she'd been through. And this man, another thing that was so precious about this little girl was that, and we don't practice this in the United States, and I think probably rightly so, but of that day, this little girl, 12 years old, she was beginning that era in her life. She was of marriage age. And so here's Jairus, had all kinds of hope for his daughter. She's getting to the age that she would probably come to meet a guy and they would get married. And now all of that seems to be going away. And all of his hopes for his daughter were vanishing. And he's begging the Lord Jesus, will you come? If you lay your hands on her, she'll be healed. So first of all, we see this man, he has faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He believes him. He's worshiping him. He's pleading with him. He's having faith in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. She believed Jesus. He believed Jesus to be the Messiah. Why did not Jesus, and of course they may start the journey to the home. We read of another incident similar to this, that Jesus told the father, he says, go home, your daughter is well. Jesus did not have to go there to bring the healing. But in this case, Jesus is going. Not because he had to, but because he chose to. And I believe there's a reason for that, and that's the next story we see in the middle of this miracle of the raising of the dead of that little girl who's 12 years old. She did die before they got there. But in the middle, there's another story. And that's the story of this woman who had the issue of blood, this affliction for 12 years. One thing I hope that you see in all of these passages, and I'm going to get to her in just a moment, but I want you to go back to the Gospel of Matthew just for a moment. Chapter 14, verse 14. We see the compassion of the Lord Jesus. Sometimes people get the idea that God is seeking to bring judgment on people, and that's all. What we need to, people need to realize, and maybe you're this way, I hope not. But our God, we see the character of the Father even in the Lord Jesus. Notice verse 14. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them. And he healed their sick. Jesus' compassion. Notice something. Jesus has compassion for the whole world. Go back to chapter 9 of Matthew. Last few verses, beginning in verse 35. And when Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Well, that's great, but look at the next thing. Next verse, verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Not just healing people and meeting physical needs and feeding and everything. Jesus saw people as lost sheep without a shepherd. Remember the story that Jesus told of the shepherd who had 100 sheep? 99 were in the fold, but one was missing. What did he do? He went looking for the lost sheep. Went looking for the lost sheep because it needed the shepherd. And Jesus is saying here, people without Christ, people without the salvation of God, are like sheep without a shepherd. Helpless, do not know how to take care of themselves. In such a need that they need someone to care for them. And this verse says that Jesus has compassion for people like sheep without a shepherd. In other words, lost sheep. Lost souls need a shepherd. Jesus has compassion for them. And of course, we have the command in the next couple of verses that we need to get into the harvest because we're to have that same compassion reaching out to people. And need to be praying about that for those who would go even. In Mark chapter 1, verse 41, Jesus expressed there, Jesus had compassion on a leper. By the way, lepers and Jewish people, especially if you're a rabbi, there was no physical contact. I mean, there had to be a distance between, worse than social distancing today. Okay? You know, because they weren't clean. But Jesus had compassion on the leper in Mark chapter 1. And he healed him. Compassion. Mark chapter 8. We see Jesus amongst multitude of people and they have no food. They've been listening to him preach and teach. And he has compassion on them because they needed some sustenance for life. He had compassion on them and fed them. Now I want us to get back to our passage now in Mark chapter 5 after that sideline. Beginning in verse 24. I call this the inner, I don't know if this is a real word or not, but anyway, I made it up. And if you know, if it's not, you let me know, okay, and I'll try to change the word. The interruptibility of Jesus, ininterruptibility of Jesus. That's a long word. In other words, it's simply saying Jesus did not mind interruptions along the way. How are you when people interrupt you, something, when you're doing something that's really important? My wife gets irritated at me, and probably rightly so, okay? I mean, she's busy doing something, and I'm wanting to say something. I'm wanting to get her to do something, and I can tell she doesn't like it. Back off. Are you like that? You are. Oh, admitted it in front of everybody. I saw her. You know, Jesus wasn't like that. He wasn't like that. Here he is. He's on his way to give new life to a 12-year-old girl that he'd never seen before because her father was really concerned about her. And he's wanting Jesus to come and touch her and heal her. And I'm sure that they're not making a slow, leisurely pace. I'm sure they're on the way. Here's someone that interrupted all of that. What did Jesus do? I want us to look at this one today, because if you don't get any other part of the message today, this is the important thing. Okay? And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. Get the picture. I mean, we don't know how many. Could be 1,000 people, even if it's 500. Jesus is walking along. I'm sure conversations are going on. Curiosity out of a lot of people. What's going to happen? What's he going to do? This throng of people. And here's this woman who is rejected and an outcast among her own people. She was not supposed to be in contact with anyone, not even her family. Rejected. Unloved, uncared for. And no one could help her. At least she thought. Just a certain woman, no name. Verse 25. That issue of blood for 12 years, and it suffered many things of many physicians, and spent all she had, and nothing better, but rather grew worse. You hear about people going to doctors today and they wonder why the doctors can't get anything figured out? I mean, it happens, you know. It's a reality. I mean, doctors are human like everybody else, and they do the best they can, but sometimes they'll get across one that just thumps their mind. They can't do anything. You know a little bit of the frustration of this lady. 12 years she's done that. By the way, she had spent all of her money that she had on this. There was nothing left. There was no one that cared. There was no money to take care of herself. She is at the end of her rope. There's no place else to turn. By the way, there are a lot of people in the world today that are into their rope. They may not have an issue of blood or a health issue, but the end of their rope, they don't know where else to turn. They don't know who to turn to. They don't know where relief is going to come or how they're going to get any help. I want to let you know that Jesus wants to help. No, you're not an interruption to our Lord Jesus. He'll welcome you. And that's what this woman found. I want to look at this a little more. Verse 27, and she had heard of Jesus. I would imagine she had a, you know, with everything she's gone through and where she's at in her situation, she heard of Jesus and came in the press behind and touched his garment. How did she get to him? I thought about that for just a little bit. Here's this throng of people all around Jesus. She's wanting to get to Jesus. I'm sure she's breaking the Mosaic law, pushing people, trying to get through the crowd. She's not supposed to be close to people, much less making her way through a crowd. She is desperate. She wants to be where Jesus is. She's thinking that he can help her. So she's pushing her way through. She said, if I can just touch his garment. She said, I don't need to touch his hand or anything. She said, I could just touch his garment. I believe in him. She had faith in Jesus. If I could just get to him. For she said, if I touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction, the plague. She came through that crowd, not fearing what people would say or what people would do. She came out of respect for Christ. She was probably thinking, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I don't want to be a bother. I just want to touch the hem of his garment. So she touched his robe and she's healed instantly. Wow. Here's something else I want you to see, and I'll have to close with this pretty quick. Verse 30. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press, all the crowd around him, and said, who touched my garment? Who touched my clothes? And the disciples said unto him, probably kind of sarcastically, thou seest a multitude thronging thee, and you said, who touched me? You can imagine, couldn't you? I mean, wouldn't that have been your thought too? Now, all this. See, the wisdom in Jesus being all-knowing, knew she was coming, but let her do what she needed to do. And then the conversation begins. And he looked around about, verse 32, to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and did what? Fell down before him and told him all the truth. In other words, she worshiped the Lord Jesus. She had found the Savior. Not just the physical relief, although that was very important to her in the first coming. But she found that spiritual relief that she needed as well. She told him all the truth. Now here's something very precious in verse 34. When I found this several months ago, it dawned on me the compassion, the love, and concern of my Lord Jesus. Our Lord's response. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. It's not that she went away healed. It's what Jesus called her. It's an unusual word here. By the way, Jesus goes and to the little girl, and he says to her in verse 31, although she's dead, Talitha kuma, being translated as damsel, I say unto thee, arise. He doesn't say daughter, arise. It's a totally different word. he's saying, little girl, arise. And she did, of course. But Jesus used a particular word here. Daughter. She was his daughter now. She was family. She belonged to him. I don't know about you, but I know about me. When I came to the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, he saved me and made me his child. God wants to do that for you. If you'll just come to him, he's accessible. You're not going to interrupt him because he is inviting you to come. Would you come? In Matthew chapter 11, it says it far better than I can say it anyway. And the Lord Jesus, in the Lord's words himself. Matthew chapter 11, beginning of verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Are you a soul today that's longing for peace and comfort and meaning? You may feel that you've got the disease, or who knows, it might be drugs. It might be some awful immoral habit. I don't know what your sin is. I don't know. I don't need to know that. God already knows it. You're looking for relief. You can find help in the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that sometimes there's battles to face as you outgrow some of those things that you've done to your body already. But Jesus wants you to come. It may not be something physical. It may be just that rejection in your own heart and mind. You're troubled? You need to come to Jesus. Without Christ as Savior, you can battle all of those things all you want to, but you're going to find yourself losing over and over and over again. You want peace. You want relief. You want a home in heaven. There's only one way. And that's come to Jesus. He says, come to him and he will give you rest in your soul. That's what you need. There are plenty of us here today that we want to share with you the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. I got the whole day. Okay? I don't need lunch, although I'm getting hungry. But I don't need lunch because you're more important than a meal. Amen? Would you talk with me before you leave today? You need Jesus. Brother, if you would come with the hymn, please.
Thank you, brother. In keeping with that 477, let's stand, please. Look at the second verse. More love to thee. Verse number two.
thank you, brother, for reminding us, no matter who you are, no matter your situation or your circumstance, Jesus Christ is your answer. Let's pray. Father God, as brother has shared, if there's someone in this room who cannot say, yes, I know Jesus is my Savior, I know that when I leave this world, I'll go to be with him. If there's somebody in this room, for whatever reason, they can't say that, then God, Holy Spirit, convict them, bring them to the end of themselves. Talk to someone here today like brother has shared. Let's get this matter of eternity settled so we know that we're saved. And for the rest of us who know Jesus Christ, but maybe we're not where we ought to be, or there's something in our past that's still bothering us, again, Christ is our peace. Christ is the answer. When we go this place, may we think about this until we return tonight. We thank you for being here and meeting with us today, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.